This is David Coors with Coors Spirits Company, and you're listening to the Bourbon Podcast.
Thanks for joining. Man, it's been a while since we've had a guest on.
I know.
Anyway, thanks for joining us. We got Kyle's not here. Although we've got a different Kyle coming on today.
Oh, Kyle. He's skiing. He's probably having fun. I bet you he's out there with David Coors, too, I bet.
He probably is. They're buddies. Anyway, you got Joe and Ben here. Thanks for joining us. I said we've got a different Kyle. We've got Kyle Merklin, the master distiller at Holiday Distillery. Man, they've been getting all the buzz lately. Last 2 years, it's been all Holiday, right?
Amazing. I just reading about it and the history. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, I am too. Anyway, Kyle Merklin's been the master still around 5 or 6 years now there, and he's got an engineering background, so we'll talk to him. We can't talk nerdy with him since our Kyle's not here, but we'll see what we can find out about his background and where they're going from here.
It's going to be refreshing to actually drink somebody's bourbon that they distilled, some 6, 7 years, 8 years ago, and which we're not used to. We're getting so many, master blenders / distillers. And
this particular one is actually a barrel pick from Justin's. And I can't remember if I got it in Louisville or Lexington, but Justin's had it, and it got really, really good reviews. So, in fact, their 6-year bottle and bond has been lighting it up. I mean, all the reviews that I've seen have been great. But before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about the news. Kentucky Peerless Distilling Company, family-owned and operated craft distillery in Louisville, announces the release of batch one of its toasted bourbon.
Hmm.
I didn't realize they didn't have a toasted before.
You know, it started with Bry's, and they really made some good 2 and 3 year rye.
Yeah.
And then out of the blue, they come out with their first young bourbon. And then if you remember, when we were at Justin's, they had a single barrel of the double oak.
I remember, yeah.
And I got a couple of those.
You did. So I think I snagged one too.
I really want to open one. I just to see.
Let's bring it in.
It's milky chocolate. I will next time.
I'll drink it with you. I will volunteer to drink it with you. Hey, so anyway, this toasted bourbon from Kentucky Peerless. It's batch one. It's going to be released on March 16th, 10 a.m. at the distillery located 120 North 10th Street in Louisville. Toasted bourbon will then begin distribution in Kentucky and eventually nationwide. The first 100 bottles will include a specially numbered label.
Hmm.
Look at that.
Got it. Does it have an age statement? Just curious.
Well, let me see here. This I'm reading from the press release.
They're fairly young.
No, I do not see
a fairly young, distillery. And so by the time they probably hopped on the toasted barrel, train, it's probably taken a few years to kind of bring that out. But I tell you, their bourbon is great.
They have really good stuff. So Peerless Toasted Bourbon is aged in two separate oak barrels. Is initially aged in the distillery standard char level 3 barrel. This process develops the desired flavor profiles of caramel, brown sugar, and toffee. The already aged whiskey is then placed in a toasted barrel to finish. Toasted barrel adds more complexity with honey, vanilla, toasted spices, and chocolate. The unique aging process allows for an elevated nose and palate.
I'm gonna try that. That sounds great.
It sounds good, doesn't it? So
that must be the some of that bourbon stock that they decided to finish in, these toasted barrels. I bet you it's great.
I like it. Yeah. You know what we should do? Maybe we'll put that up in a double barrel episode if we can get a bottle against one of the allocated toasted barrels. That would be good.
Michter's or something like
that.
Michter's, right?
Good, which is man.
I know.
Good stuff. Anyway, so the head taster, John Waddell, says, "We hand select each barrel for the finishing process. We chose to use a medium toast because it contains less tannins, which result in more aromatic whiskey with warm, sweet, savory characters and strong vanilla overtones. Kentucky Peerless Distilling Company is open to the public, so you can go there and get your bottle starting March 16th at 10 a.m. I bet there will be a line.
Oh, yeah.
As there should be. New Riff Distilling. I'm a big fan. New Riff is kind of what got me into bourbon. I started drinking a couple of New Riff, loved them. That actually got me in. So New Riff Distillery has announced the release of its 8-year-old Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey, the distillery's oldest bourbon yet released, and an unprecedented first fruit of initial whiskey set back for further aging. Available beginning March 8th, so it's out there already. A nod to the age of the whiskey. This edition is the newest installment of New Riff's core product line. What is their regular? Is it a 6 year or is it 4 to 6?
It depends. It's been each year as it's been, it was 4 year, it was three, and then a four, and then a five, and I would say it's probably still five, but I don't know. I don't know what this year's is. We've talked about doing a single barrel for as part of our club
Okay.
selection, and I think we'll have that scheduled.
Yeah, we definitely should.
It'll be fun
I
doing.
think one of the first bottles I ever got was a barrel pick, and I think it was a Justin's. I get a lot of them at Justin's. Anyway, they're playing with words here. A new riff on coveted classic. This 8-year-old expression of New Riff's award-winning flagship bourbon is bottled without chill filtration at 100 proof with a mash bill of 65% corn, 30% rye, and 5% malted barley. So high rye.
Yeah, I bet you it's really spicy. 8 years. I wonder if it will mellow it a bit. The spice, and but I'd be curious. I'd love to get a bottle of it.
Oh, so it says here in this press release that their standard bourbon is 4 years.
Yeah.
As much acclaim as we have received from the bourbon community for our 4-year-old bottled in bond and single barrel offerings, we knew the real excitement would come from genuinely older whiskey. And here it is, the beginning of the future and the next wave of New Riff. Let me see if I got an MSRP. I don't see it in the release.
Yeah, how many bottles? Then probably didn't release the number of bottles either, I take it.
Yeah, no, they did not. But I would imagine it's going to be fairly limited.
Yeah, single barrel, depending on how many they... Is that a single barrel or small batch? Just curious.
Does not say.
Oh, we'll find out.
We'll see if we can get it. We'll bring it in, and that'll be right in Kyle's wheelhouse, too.
Oh, yeah.
He's a 6 to 8 year bourbon guy.
Yep.
Anything over 8, he's not really a real big fan, right?
Hey, proof positives. He's been picking those 6 to 8 year old.
6 to 8s every time. And the double barrels, too. So
yep.
Anyway, so that's what's going on. There's so much going on in the whiskey world. You can check out our new website, Revamped, where we've got scrolling news. You wake up in the morning, you want to see what the whiskey news is, go to bourbonpodcast.com. You'll see a bunch of reviews on there by Joe. It's been a while since he's done one on there. Joe, I need you to step it up, bro.
I do them every time I do we do our barrel releases.
Yeah.
So some of those we need to probably.
Yeah, I can just incorporate them over.
Yep,
yeah.
Just pop them
so
over.
So we'll add some more releases from Joe, some more reviews, but check it out. It's got every episode that we do is on there. It automatically uploads. And then we have the news. I don't know how they did it. Our website people did it, but they did it. So it's like up-to-date scrolling news all the time.
I was going to say, you can almost now with AI and stuff, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. They.
And who knows what gets posted?
No, that's not true. I have actually looked at it. I always go to Breaking Bourbon. In the past, I would go to Breaking Bourbon for all the news. And that's actually where I got these news releases, too, because they have everything.
Yeah.
Ours has a little bit of, it has a lot of the press releases, but then it has more stuff, too, just like articles and things like that. But anyway, so check that out if you haven't already, bourbonpodcast.com. Next up, we've got the Master Distiller of Holiday Distillery.
Nice.
Are you enjoying Bourbon Podcast? Be sure to leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing. And by the way, thanks for listening. Now, Joe, I've been excited about this interview. We've had this scheduled for probably 2 months now, and I'm excited for a couple of reasons. Number one, this is a really cool story. Like the story of Ben Holiday, the story of the distillery. It's awesome. And because I was at Justin's, and I cannot remember if I was in Louisville or Lexington, and they had a 7-year Ben Holiday barrel pick. And so this was, God, it was around the time that we skipped, maybe a month or so before, and all the people at Justin's were going nuts about this. They said, if you're going to buy one, you've got to buy this one. So I bought it and I kept it. And I haven't had it yet. And we've been waiting for Kyle to come on. Kyle Merkline, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. No, thank you for having me. That's cool. I did not know that you had that and you were waiting. If I would have known, I would have had a pour of that as well today.
Oh, well, I would imagine. So I think I picked this up in late 2023 or early 24, if I recall, from Justin's.
Yep.
And I think this was probably, because I know you joined Holiday, what, in 2016?
Correct. Yep.
So this would have been one of your first endeavors, I would imagine.
Yeah, that was his, the barrel that they picked, it was, Yeah, 7 years and change on that one. It was a fifth floor barrel. Yeah, definitely one of the earlier barrels that we had done. And it was a solid pick for sure.
Yeah.
That was one that I remember, we really hadn't even launched in the state of Kentucky. And Ryan Alves had come through our distillery and he had tried tried a few things and was like, man, I'd love to have a barrel. And it's like, well, we aren't even in Kentucky yet, but the time will come. So that was a cool thing to do, to launch, in the heart of bourbon country in Kentucky, to have a barrel at that 7 year mark come right out of the gate.
Yeah, very cool. And you're right. It was fifth floor, Rick House C, Rick Nine Tier Three. You nailed it. You don't even have the bottle in front of you. Great memory.
Yeah, I wish I could say I remember the exact barrel. Actually, was it barrel 117? I think it's
It
117,
is. It is
119.
barrel 117.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
That's crazy.
What is
That's
it
crazy.
about these master distillers that
I
they're
know.
like science geeks,
Well,
man?
so
Run a
Kyle,
regression.
we got to talk a little bit about you. Our my understanding from doing some research, you're studying for your PhD now.
Yep.
All right. So
Slowly working on that over time.
that's awesome. So at some
Yeah.
point you'll have to come back on. You'll be doctor. We'll call you
Yeah.
doctor.
My, I always joke. I feel like we're already getting off topic, which is a sign of a good podcast, I think. But I always joke that my wife is a dentist, so she's Dr. Merkline. And so we get all these letters in the mail, wedding invites or whatnot, and it's Dr. and Mr. Merkline. And so it's like I really got to get finish out that PhD just so that I can even the score and it can be doctor and doctor. So
Oh, you're just
I
one
like
up there. I hope she didn't listen to this. So now you're going to get the wedding
it.
invites and it's going to say doctors, DRS, Merklein, right?
I mean,
Right.
that's
Well,
fair.
you just upstaged her. Hey, so, all right. So let's start in the beginning. So you're born and raised in Kansas, right? You went to Kansas State.
Correct. Yep.
Now,
So small town in Phillipsburg, Kansas is the name of the town. It's grew up on a farm. And yeah, I did not have any sort of distilling background. People always start with that and ask that. And it's, was not intending to do that for a living. I was a farm kid. We harvested wheat, grain, sorghum, and the like, and so it was intended to do something in agriculture. Dad said not to do farming. It sucked with the weather. We're going through droughts, and so I went to K-State, got a bachelor's and master's in biological and agricultural engineering. Really the thought or the intention with that is, take that grain that's it's coming from the farmers and trying to add value to it one way, shape, or form through processing. So my first job was making biodiesel from soybeans, not nearly as fun, but still in that realm. But then when I went back for my master's, the research was in fermentation, kind of hoping maybe I could get into this industry. If not, knowing corn ethanol was a big area in the Midwest, and especially kind of the area that I was planning on living. So that was the thought. And then bourbon, again, really never played into it. I drank bourbon, but it never was a thought that I could have an actual career in that, and Missouri or Kansas area. And so went and made Natural Spirits for a minute, and focused in on that, the vodka production, and thought that that was good. But then you know what, as soon as the Holiday Distillery opened up, they had gotten it started, had purchased the equipment from Vendome and gone through and gotten everything commissioned, and they were looking for someone to run it full time. And so interviewed for that, fell in love with the property the minute I drove in, and was like, man, I really, really want this job. I love bourbon, plus the facility is gorgeous. And so kind of went from there. So yeah, that was my background and how I got into this world.
And that was a like a $10 million right renovation that was done on the still house. Was that like right around the same time it was like wrapping up, and then here you come. You become like
Yeah,
really,
correct.
really, really their first major master distiller.
Yeah. Now, see,
Correct. Yeah, I
I
mean,
thought since he grew up on a farm, I knew that today he was going to tell us that he had like some secret still over in the woods that he didn't tell his dad about.
I'm sure he does.
No, I mean, the statute of limitations is run, Kyle. You can tell
Yeah,
us if you
yeah.
have.
Yeah, I wish that I could say that. Growing up, actually, my it'd probably be a much better story, but my family didn't drink. So it was it was the kind of thing where
Yeah.
I was a great kid growing up, and then didn't drink until I was 21. But no, it was not the case where I had that. So Stillhouse renovation was just finalized. You know, with bringing our property back online, we it kind of get a little bit into that. 1856, we were founded, and we made bourbon up until 1985. At that time, different company owned us and chose to shut down our bourbon production. It was not, you know, as big of a deal. People didn't like bourbon as much then. Plus, they had a different facility, so it was kind of, let's not reinvest in this Weston, Missouri location. Let's go somewhere else. And so just completely shut the doors on everything and left all the equipment in. And so it sat there. We, as a company, we focused in on other things. We stayed operational for those 30 years, but really 2014, 2015, our president and our current ownership wanted to bring back that history in the past. And so started, you know, bringing out everything out of that old historic still house, uncovering our cistern again, and going through those rick houses, replacing the roof and making sure we had enough, you know, all the beams were not rotted through and all of that. And so there was a lot that had gone into it, had gotten on the list and purchased a 18-inch column still from Vendome, and went with that route. And so that was all had happened prior to me joining. And it would have certainly been fun for me to be involved in some of that. It was also a nice thing that, you know, could come in from the beginning and it was functional equipment. And it was just tweaking and modifying and going from there where we could really make sure we knew what we were doing for the bourbon production. But yeah, it was a several year process to get to the point of actually producing again.
And you know, you look at the history of this. So Ben Holiday, and I had never heard of Ben Holiday. I've heard of some of the things that he's done, but I had never heard until I was prepping for this podcast. And obviously, when I bought this bottle at Justin's, but so and this, I think I just pulled this from your old website. But Ben Holiday is one of the greatest unknown figures in American history. Born in Kentucky, and then he relocated to Weston, Missouri. I think before Weston was even named a town at that time. Anyway, he saw it. He was a teenager, ended up becoming the a transportation tycoon. He was the stagecoach king. He owned the Pony Express. Everybody's heard of the Pony Express. Anyway, he had steamships, streetcars, and a railroad line. But he also had silver mines and a saloon, and then started a distillery. Anyway, Holiday Distillery was established over 166 years ago, and I think that was him and perhaps his brother.
His brother.
And then then he gave it to his brother
It
and.
stayed in the family for quite some time. And that's what's really honorable about it. But you know, you got to go back even further than when the distillery was there. This is and you could tell the story, Kyle, about, you know, the finding the
The
limestone,
limestone, yeah.
and that is all part of the original expedition. And so it's the history where you probably draw your water from and all your natural resources go back, you know, almost 200 years, right? And I think it's the early 1800s.
1804, I believe, Lewis and Clark expedition had documented on our kind of, if you look at the record and the plot location, it had documented that they found limestone spring water to water horses on our property. And so that was ultimately kind of the beginning of our era. It had we have buildings, a cave on site, and our original still house that we're currently operational in. They're from the 1830s. It was a beef or slaughterhouse at the time. But then the Holiday brothers, you're correct. They came up, had a bunch of different businesses kind of in the Weston area, and different jobs. And they started the distillery. Ben, he wanted to focus in on all sorts of business enterprises. And so he did. He bought the Pony Express and converted those contracts over into stagecoach line. But yes, I personally relate with David. He was the one running the distillery, so I like that. We call it Ben Holiday, but he started it. But you know, David put in the hard work over the 40 plus years that he was there. But yeah, it's one of those places that really the history is real. It's you know, you walk on our property, you go through these old historic buildings, and you just feel it. And it's not something where it's forced. It's not something we had to come up with. It's truly just the real history of the site. And it's something that you know, you don't see often. And I think a lot of those, you know, legacy Kentucky distilleries, they have that. But we have a story and a the history that rivals that as well, certainly. And so it's rare to see that kind of outside of that Kentucky, Tennessee area. So well, it's definitely, if you're in the Kansas City area, I'm again very biased, but encourage people to come check it out.
Well, the Cooperage, you know, like you think about the history, you know, coming down from where you're located, I'm assuming you all have always used local Cooperage there. I know like some of our barrels that we select at Smooth Ambler, it's interesting, but the Cooperage actually comes from your state.
Yep.
And they're the staves are like aged for a year on a farm and then they're assembled. And then it's pretty amazing. I think people don't realize that the Cooperage with, you know, the barrel being so important in the process that, I mean, you all have a very, very long history there with your natural resources. And I'm assuming that, by the way, I'm on my second glass. I'm getting ready to have Ben pour me a third glass, but it's delicious. You can taste
really
all
good.
The beautiful profiles coming off that barrel. And then we're going to want to ask you a little bit about your mash bill and stuff, but I'm sorry, Ben,
yep.
I'm going to defer back to you.
One of the cool things. So when the Holiday Brothers released their first batch, it was 35 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd love to see the distillery. Are there any of the old bottles, or do you guys have anything left over from when they were there?
There's maybe not necessarily from then, and I don't know how much they would have necessarily bottled versus loaded up in that barrel and took on those stagecoaches going west. But mm-hmm. I think we do have a lot of old bottles, and I don't know the oldest one we have on site. I know we have various ones throughout the eras. I've seen one that's, you know, the medicinal bottle on site. And so, yeah, we have a handful up at our welcome center that are kind of behind glass of just the historic pieces that we have. But, you know, I haven't actually seen those holiday ones per se. So,
All right. Yeah. Does your wife, the dentist, use holiday bourbon to numb her patients?
Or disinfect?
I mean, she should, but
it's medicinal.
That's right.
It is. Exactly. Yeah.
You could have like whiskey flavored, you know, like cleaning. Like,
oh, yeah.
I took my daughter to the dentist yesterday, of all things, and they have the craziest flavors out there now.
Really?
Caramel.
Oh, yeah.
Bubble gum. I mean, like all this stuff. My dad's a dentist, right? Like, and so yep. I understand you more than you know, except the difference is that when I would get my annual cleanings and all my siblings, we would always be the end of his work day, a little bit on edge. And so I fear dentists. All right.
Yeah.
I remember like, Dad, that really hurts. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, just shut up. We're going to go ahead. We're going to take this impression. But no, I get where you're coming from. My dad's 92 and he's still practicing.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. I relate to that. My wife, I went through dental school with her. And so I was her dental school patient and all of that. And she always complained about me and said I was such a bad patient. And then I see her, you know, you're her chairside manner with all everyone else, and it's so pleasant, so nice. And then then I show up and it's just not quite the same. So it's I completely understand that. I think it's similar. Every dentist probably keeps their family for when they're not wanting to be in a good mood
at the end of the workday.
Poor cow. Poor cow. This is going to turn into a
thing. But I think you could do a whiskey flavored like literally cleaning. How cool would that be?
No, man, they've got like,
you could go in there and like, hey, you know what? I want the whiskey flavor.
So we get a lot of stuff. I mean, people send us stuff and they want us to put it on social media or talk about it in the podcast. And we get whiskey, we get bourbon soap, we get bourbon lotion. You name it. I mean, if you can make it, man, they make it from bourbon. We get a lot of that.
Did you
really
hide that
cool
from
stuff? Yeah, I've got boxes out at the office, but yeah. So we appreciate all the free goodies, but we focus on like the bourbon that you drink. I'm not going to wash with bourbon soap, but
yeah.
So let's talk about, so now the one we're drinking now, of course, it's a barrel pick. It's 7 years.
Yep.
Tell us about the core offerings. I know you got the 6-year bottle in bond, which got just rave reviews.
Yeah.
Tell us about the core offerings.
Yeah. So, you know, when we first started bringing back the distillation, 2016, we focused in on kind of that history. And so it was bringing back everything the way that we used to make it. So that was starting with the mash bill, 73% corn, 15% rye, 12% malted barley. That's kind of that Ben Holiday, the one with the stagecoach on it. That is our history, our original. anything with that stagecoach, that's that historic way of making it. And so it was all brought back the way we used to do it, whether it was the two cooker system. You know, we didn't have our historic yeast, but trying to make or ferment similar style with the similar style yeast. And then going through column distillation with the doubler at 120 off the column, 130 off the doubler, going into a char 3 barrel from Independent Stave Company in Lebanon, Missouri, as you kind of mentioned
yep.
earlier.
Yep.
And then going into those rick houses and sitting. And so, yeah, everything about that was kind of the core bringing back our history. That was released at the 6 year mark in May of 2022. And you know, making it to that point was it was a challenge. It was not something that I don't think was intended. I was not the person personally, you know, responsible for payments or the writing the checks. It's I pulled the samples of whiskey and gave it to the shareholders and said, yeah, it'd be great if we could wait a few years. But it wasn't me writing the checks, right? So it's you. I always give full credit to them because being patient for 6 years is not an easy thing. And so, you know, our president and then another board member at the time, they remembered kind of our history of making it back in the day. And it was 6 to 10 years was the sweet spot. And so oh. they kept pushing for that. And that was kind of how we ended up with that 6 year old age statement.
So how many bottles are coming off your batches when you do that 6 year bourbon? It's the small batch.
It is highly variable. So it depends on what we're producing, how many, you know, where our inventory sits and whatnot. And so I would always refer to our website, holidaybourbon.com. So I mentioned earlier, I'm the small town Kansas kid. I was not good at talking to people. I actually had a major stutter growing up. And so just really avoided it. I stayed on the farm. It was great. But I also didn't used to, I wasn't very good at writing. I'm an engineer, right? That's math. So on our website, we have a distiller's journal where I write every batch that we do, kind of the details about it and the bourbon nerd information behind that. You know, how ultimately, what was the thought process? Was this coming for the National Rick House release? Was this coming from whatever thought process was going through my mind at the time of creating this batch? We give details about where the floors were coming from, the ricks,
right.
and the angel share, as well as, you know, ultimately how many barrels were used in each batch. And so it depends. We've had batches from 50 barrels up to, you know, about 200. So it's every time we go to bottle it, it is really more of an intentional. We let the bourbon speak for itself and figure out where we need to go from there versus having anything set in mind on
and
each
that's
one.
2022, is that right? You released June of 22. Was that batch one, maybe, if I remember
yep.
correctly? And so, I mean, you can imagine Ben, he's, you know, hired in 2016, right?
Right.
The renovations are done in 15. You're waiting 6 long years.
Yep.
To release that first 6 year batch.
I can't imagine how, I mean, during that time frame, how often were you up there? I mean, I'd be up there like every day.
It's ready.
I mean,
patient. It's 4 years, but it's good.
Yeah.
It was a lot of that. You know, there was a lot of back and forth, I had gone up there often and was working through everything that you could, but ultimately, you know, you don't know where it's going to line out on age, but yeah, I was very paranoid. I'll just be perfectly honest. It's when you're sitting there and you're seeing the inventory build up, it's like, I really hope this is going to work. I taste it, but you have to think about it from our perspective a little bit. You know, the one thing about going through in Kentucky, maybe we'll use that as an example. If you were to start up something there, you probably have people on site, on staff, where they know they've worked at other places. They know what a 2 year old bourbon should taste like in a rick house. They know what the 3 year old, how it progresses over the 4, 5, 6 year mark. And so as it ages, you kind of have the background or the knowledge, and we had to develop all of that. And so it's we had some limited lab standards from back in the day. So we had a 3 year standard and a 6 year standard that they would use in our QC lab in the 80s. But beyond that, we didn't have much to go by, really, of the progression of aging. And so it was a lot of learning as you go, a lot of documenting the samples, you know, the analytical side on site. And so running through that as well, trying to make sure, you know, the GC mass spec, the volatile profiles are similar to what we would expect. But it was a lot of, yeah, just truly waiting and hoping that it works out as well as you hope it should. I mean, it's, you think it will, you're following the best standards of the bourbon world, but and our own personal gold standards that we've tried the bourbon and we liked it. And so you have a little bit of confidence, but not enough.
You got a recipe that's, you know, generally different than many of the other recipes that are out there. Mm-hmm. You have your cooperage, right, which is local. You have different limestone and mm-hmm. water as a resource. You have different extremities in terms of the climate. So to me, and we know this because, you know, we're big fans of like Texas bourbon, for instance. That's really extreme. But, you know, I can see where you're going with this, because, you know, you're waiting and waiting to see what kind of bourbon is going to be. It's almost like you can't measure it to Kentucky because it's not Kentucky. It's a totally different climate, resources. And we're huge fans, by the way, of the Missouri Cooperage. I can tell you, I know what the, you know, the flavors and the color that it imparts on the whiskey.
Well, look, I mean, look at this. Look at this 7 year that we've got.
It's,
I mean,
beautiful.
It is gorgeous.
It is copper brown. And and it tends to, what we've seen from that cooperage is you tend to get lots of this brown sugar and caramel. And and when Ben opened the bottle, first thing I noticed was like, wow, I can smell the vanilla from like 3 feet away. It's so to me, like I just want our listeners to know, like, that what you have, that product is going to be unique from what you might get from Kentucky.
Yeah.
It's, you know, everything is virtually the same, but it's ever so slightly different. And that's, people often ask us, you know, about, we're full transparency. We had the decision made that early on. It's like, we're not going to hide anything, because ultimately people could take everything we're doing and they could make it in Oklahoma, or they could make it in Wyoming, or they could make it any other location in the country. And it's not going to taste the same. And so it's, you know, it's who we are, it's what we're doing, and we're fully transparent and taking that stance of telling the bourbon, you know, that bourbon geek, everything about it, because, you know, it's, you want to know what you're drinking and tasting, and we're not really, really hiding, because it's, we have our own sense of, or taste of place.
Well, you have a comparative, you have some comparative advantage there, and with your cooperage, you know, and the history that dates back. There just isn't as much volume.
And talking about transparency, I mean, they put everyone online and tell you exactly what, I mean, do any other distilleries do that? I mean, if you want to know exactly what you're drinking,
it's,
you get
rare.
On the website.
You get
these
logs that are out there, like Jefferson, but you're right. But I think Kyle is being very modest and proper to our listeners out here. But I think Kyle, you got a great product here. This single barrel is really great.
And Kyle, I want to know, so you guys released this in June of 2022, and you're confident in it, but you never really know until it gets out there. When did you know you had a hit?
Maybe this last month. With that first bottling, it was a lot of back and forth. We had decided on a launch date, and it was May. On site, we were going to release that, and we air freighted in glass so that we could have that on site while the rest was shipping here. And the first weekend we launched, and we sold out the pallet of glass we had, and it was doing well locally. You know, our sales team was all on the local, whiskey pages, and people were reviewing it and thought it went well. And that was good, but it was ultimately, I think, still several more rounds, because you want to, the first one, great, but I focused in heavily on that. I worked with Doug Frost, a master sommelier, master of wine in our local area, to come help me with that, you know, work through the tasting of the barrels that would be of age. And so it's not, you know, you're not fully there. And so I'd say really it was more of, as we kept rolling out and hitting more and more states and having more and more places review it and giving it positive feedback, where it's like, okay, now we're confident in this, but still in the back of my mind, and something we haven't talked about yet, but the back of my mind is, okay, this is our Ben Holiday. This is our original mash bill. But we have another one that I know we're going to be releasing. And so I was still trying to prepare for that and tasting through all of our weeded mash bill, the weeded bourbon. And so that's what March of 2023, we launched that Holiday Soft Red Wheat bottled and bond bourbon as well. That has the red truck on it. And so, you know, it was also in, you know, you go through the paranoia once with one mash bill, but then it never fully left me, because our president loved weeded bourbon, and that's why we ended up making this mash bill. And it's like, okay, well, great. We got one thing that's doing well, but ultimately, if our president's not happy with the weeded bourbon that we're producing, that's not good for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was when we launched that in March of last year. And that one immediately, it started making waves, and it really did pretty well initially. And so I would say ultimately, once we had both of those rolling, it's like, okay, now I can finally breathe. I think we know what we're doing. Let's keep this up. So,
well, and the weeded bourbon, 6 years old again. So again,
correct.
You can see the influence of like the, you know, your higher ups here in the company who loved a weeded bourbon. So it sat there for at least six long years. And, and not only that, then you're taking a little bit of a risk, right? Cause you're going with that soft red wheat. It's going to produce a different bourbon. You don't have any idea for 6 years after you blend it. So I can see even once again, but, I hear the reviews are amazing on that. Wish we had a bottle of that.
You know,
we love weeded bourbon.
I sampled it when I was in, I think it was Louisville, and they had, and I do remember the red truck on it, and it was phenomenal. I mean, and the taste to me, and again, Kyle, I'm the amateur of the group. So it's like red light, green light for me.
He will tell you thumbs up, thumbs down.
And
honestly, that's the best whiskey reviews.
Exactly.
But I will, but I'm always honest about it. And, you know, we've had some reviews that didn't go the way people thought they would go and hope they would go. But, you know, this one, I took a sample at Justin's on their barrel pick, I was blown away. I bought the bottle and kept it here because I knew that we were going to have this interview coming up. And then I also tasted when I was there, this was probably just maybe a few months back, I tasted the weeded.
Oh, really? That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you can get samples. Yeah. They'll offer you samples, and it was outstanding.
What's the weeded? Just curious, because we just did a couple of proof positives on weeded, but what is the mash bill and the story behind your weeded recipe?
Yeah. So really we kept it simple. So it's a study of one grain. So we make it the exact same way with the exception of the cook temps of the soft red wheat. But so it's also that 73% corn, 15% soft red wheat, 12% malted barley. And so it's going into that barrel 118 proof, like what we do on our original mash bill. So everything about it's the exact same way. It's just swapping in one grain for the other. And it's, you know, just doing that, it has a more, you know, traditional bourbon profile. We could have obviously gone into a lower barrel entry proof, or we could have played around with the mash bill differently or distillation proofs, but ultimately it has that very traditional bourbon profile, but that softness that you get with that wheat, the rich mouthfeel that you get with that. And so it was just kind of that one study in grain, and it was not really to overcomplicate it. It's let's just do the things that worked on site, but switch out the one grain for it. And so, yeah, when we first went to launch it, I always joke our sales guy, who's kind of in charge of all the states, the bourbon, sending it where it needs to go. He's like, okay, I'm getting ready to launch these with all our distributors. I need to know, like, give me all the details about it, and go through and tell him everything. And he's like, really? That's it? Like, that's all you did? I thought you were the master distiller. I thought you were a scientist. Like, surely there's more. But So it was, you know, but it ultimately still has that sense, the taste of place of us. And that's what's kind of cool about that, is it has the richness of it, but just slightly different. So.
You know, and Ben, that's pretty close to the recipe of the Heaven Hill
Right.
Larceny, and the believed to be right, Pappy Van Winkle original recipe, and maybe even the makers. I mean, it's amazing, right? It
Yeah,
makes
that
you
map.
wonder whether or not, you know, the original founder of the distillery back in the 1850s brought that recipe, you know, with, you know, that there's something to the composition there, and made its way to
Yeah,
Missouri.
if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's right.
I mean, they were from Columbia, Kentucky, I believe is the name of the town, and we actually met when we were at re getting ready to do an event at Justin's House of Bourbon. We were met a guy in the hotel lobby who, or hotel bar, that his last name was Holiday. He was from Columbia as well, and somehow tied to that. But yeah, they likely brought that mash bill and the knowledge of making bourbon, you know, from Kentucky. Definitely
Kentucky.
makes sense.
Amazing.
So Kyle, what's on the horizon? What do you guys what's up next? Tell us a secret that we won't tell anybody.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, so
nobody
it's
listens to our podcast. You can just go ahead and let it out.
Yeah,
Besides,
exactly.
you have a couple of sick kids there at the home right now, so you're
Right.
not thinking straight.
That's right.
Yeah. So here, you know, I think probably a lot of people have seen this, but you know, we just recently launched our Rickhouse proof version of both of these, so the full proof of both mash bills, and we're going to continue on with that. That's kind of, you know, once a year bottling for the Ben Holiday, and twice a year for our soft red wheat for the Rickhouse proof. So it's not going to be, you know, a full-time shelf item necessarily, but it won't be impossible to find, hopefully. But yeah, so beyond that, we're holding back for both mash bills for a 10-year. That is for sure in the works. Again, I mentioned 6 to 10 was the sweet spot. That 10-year that I have tried from our past was phenomenal, and hoping to recreate something similar to that. And so we're working on that. We're a couple years out still before we have any 10-year-old barrels, and then, you know, until we have enough that we are pleased with the overall batch, it's going to be, you know, a couple, maybe 3 years. But so yeah, working towards that. And then really on site, we're not going to age anything beyond 10 years, besides maybe a random barrel or two here. But it's our personal preference. We don't want to have anything that is just overly over oaked, and so that's not what we want to do. So, and frankly, it's just, we don't have enough barrel storage for that. We'd have to be putting up rick houses left and right in order to hold back for 20 plus years. So we're doing that. And then we've experimented on site with, you know, a lot of, like everybody else does. We have I mentioned the cave. We are doing barrel finishing type stuff. We call it the Cave Collection. It's released at our distillery only. We'll see
Nice.
what
Oh, that's
works.
cool. That's cool.
And you know, if something works, maybe that's a larger play. Maybe that enters the market. But we are being very intentional about that. You know, we took a lot of risk in aging bourbon forever. So let's not take too many more risk of just throwing out too many products that don't work. So it's all held pretty closely at the distillery. But we in that cave, we took, it's still very traditional double oak toasted barrel type of finishing. We took 13 barrels from Independent Stave Company, 13 different kinds, and most of them made in that Missouri cooperage, but not all made from Missouri oak necessarily. Have some French oak or variations of that. But yeah, so we have some things we're playing with, but yeah, our core is we want to continue to tell our story and continue to produce those high quality batches and that transparency with each batch. We're really just trying to stay true to who we are and that authenticity with it. And so not trying to do anything too crazy outside of that.
How many states are you
I
currently?
was going to ask
You're
that
gonna,
question.
because it's like driving me crazy, because I how do we get them in West Virginia? You know,
Right.
yeah, it's, so we're as a company, so I mentioned again, during the 30 years when we weren't distilling, we built other brands. So we have national distribution. So it's hard for me to say exactly how many states that the bourbon has entered, just because, you know, we have the ability to ship it all to all 50 states. It's just the matter of how many have actually gone out. It's I think last I've heard, we're in the upper 30s
Oh, good.
For total distribution. And so the core focus is always Midwest. That's where we started. That's where we launched, you know, Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska,
yeah.
Iowa, kind of that core. That was our where we launched for everything. And then but it's definitely made its way out beyond that. So
so do you ship direct from the distillery, or are you on Sealbox, or how do you
we do not. From what shipping I know, we have Sealbox and Bourbon Outfitters is what I've been aware of. So we do not or cannot ship directly from our distillery. You can certainly come visit us and buy anything you want to and pack it in your suitcase. Yeah. But
Don't tempt us. Don't tempt us with a good time.
Because, you know, we're going to the cave.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
We're going to dig some really nice samples.
If you need
out there.
Me, I'll be in the cave.
I'll be in the cave.
We just took a, you might want to wait a month. We just flipped our inventory of that. So we got rid of all of our Ben, that historic mash bill. Mm-hmm. We'd aged those. And then we're repeating the process with our weeded. We're waiting on our barrels. They're supposed to arrive here in the next week or two. And then we'll fill them up. So don't come too soon. Make sure we get something filled up first.
All right, Kyle, let me ask you a couple questions.
Yep.
You go home in the evening and you're not going to drink water like most master distillers do after tasting all day. And you're going to pour a glass of whiskey. What do you pour?
Oh, man. So of ours, I'm going to be pouring one of those Rick House proofs. I like the full proof, full flavor.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, barrel picks are great, and I've had phenomenal barrel picks. And I'm screening all of those. So hopefully you don't have too many of the holiday ones that aren't phenomenal, but, I prefer the batch. I prefer the rounded, mm-hmm. profile that we get with the different bottling. So I'm going Rick House proof all day.
And then what outside of the holiday family do you pour? Like, do you have a couple bottles you go to?
There's not necessarily. I'm more of a, I'll drink depending on the season, temperature, mm-hmm. whatever. I've said from the beginning, and this is just where I've been, as I research the bourbon world, I have a crazy amount of respect for the Russell family. And so mm-hmm. Wild Turkey, I respect everything that they've done. So, you know, just inherently, I like that product as well. But
oh, yeah, it's incredible. You
know, it will rotate depending on, you know, if it's a hot day, cold day, or somewhere in between.
Are you a rye guy, weeded, or what's your preference?
More traditional.
Yeah. Okay.
I like rye, maybe not the rye whiskeys, the 95% rye whiskeys, but I'll deviate to a rye whiskey as well. Mm-hmm. But I prefer that. I, you know, weeded is great during the summer hot days, but you know, most of the time I'm going for that traditional bourbon mash.
Yeah. All right. So you can have a drink with anyone you want, anyone in history, living or dead. Who would you have a drink with?
Oh man, that's insane. there's so many ways you could take that. You know,
that's exactly like, right.
Well, exactly.
Should I go the bourbon route? In which case, that would be a, you know, there's so many different icons in the bourbon world. Although Jimmy Russell would come to mind as the one that you'd want to have a drink with. But then, you know, it's like I grew up the biggest Frank Thomas fan, so it'd be cool to have a drink with him.
Oh yeah,
White
Sox,
the Big Hurt. Wow. Yeah,
the White Big Sox. Hurt.
Wow.
So, you know, I joked. Always, I thought I was going to be a professional baseball player. He was my favorite, and his signature is just a couple scribbles. You can read out the F and the T. And so I practiced my signature growing up, and now it's actually come in handy with signing bottles, but it's just a giant K and an M. So that's all you can read on it. So,
So for all the people out there that are getting a bottle signed, they should know it's Frank Thomas. The Big Hurt.
The Big Hurt, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The influence.
I collected
influence.
All of his rookie cards,
oh,
Leaf
yeah,
and all
sure.
of it. Yeah. That was outstanding.
That's a unique answer from all
is.
The answers we've had.
And you know, it's funny because we asked that question and they just go in different directions with it.
I mean,
it's really cool just to see. I mean, you could say
there's
Abraham Lincoln if you want. You could say Ben Holiday. You could say anybody.
Ben,
it's interesting to see who they go with.
And Kyle, I know you're chomping to talk, but Ben, is there one that really surprised you the most? What stands out to you?
No, when we asked Julian Van Winkle, who would you have a drink with? And I was curious whether he would go with his dad or his grandfather. I knew it would be one or the other. And, you know, he answered his dad.
Yeah.
Which was very telling. Very telling. That was an
if you
that
read
was
the book, right?
If you read the book, it's very interesting. So yeah, it's cool how people respond to that question. But I'd love to have a drink with Frank Thomas.
Me
I'd
too.
I want a drink with Mike Tyson.
I could give you other answers, but let's be real. Drinking is it's social, it's fun, and so
that's
like
right.
Let's just pick a person that I would never get to hang out with. I mean, this is already a scenario
cool.
That's not real. So, you know,
yeah, that's right. Well, if Frank Thomas tastes this, I'm sure he'll want to hang out with you.
Well, I was going to say, I think maybe like this is the first sports right personality that we've had answer.
Yep.
But I think that's kind of cool because Ben and I we're huge sports guys. So,
oh yeah,
I could see somebody put me on the spot and going right that direction.
Oh, all right, Joe. Who's would you be? Who would you pick?
On the sport, probably Larry Bird, man.
Larry Bird?
Yeah, I just because he's nice. Just a quiet kind of. I would want to sit down and have a drink with him, and I'd like to ask him a kind of a few succinct questions.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of sports people. I mean,
you know, because
Ollie didn't drink, but if he did, that would be cool to have.
But he would have a personality. But Larry Bird, you know, growing up a Boston fan, like, who is Larry Bird truly?
Yeah. Right.
From basketball. And I would love to sit down with him, have a drink and kind of.
That would be cool. There's so many baseball players, though, that I would love to have a drink with.
Gosh, let me see. Who would you go with?
Oh, I mean, I'd probably go way back. I mean, Babe Ruth, right? He knew how to drink.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be cool.
Yeah.
There'd be some. I mean, the question's impossible to answer. So
it's not, but it's great, though, because it
you
takes
come
people
up with
in different directions.
Answers,
and I love the Frank Thomas, you know.
Yeah.
It's awesome. That kind of
yep. So,
and you and I interrupted you because you were going to drive this one home. But go ahead, finish up your response there. Is there anything else, Kyle, you want to talk about?
No. I, you know, again, it could be serious. I could pick all sorts of people, but no, it was definitely Frank Thomas.
Yeah,
I'll stick with that. Yeah.
Awesome.
So we know what's coming on. They're you know working on this 10-year. They got lots of stuff in the cave, which I'm going to find the location of.
Yeah, we're going to.
By the way, is the cave on the tour? If I want to come and take a tour, do you take
it
people
is.
Into the
yeah,
cave?
It
That's
is.
cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Found an ancient cave. It used to be the beginning point of the tour. We had church pews in there, and that you would watch one of those touristy videos. But then we that's decided cool. that there could be better uses for it. Mm-hmm. So we immediately bonded it and put in some ricks to store barrels. So
we've got a bunch of caves here in West Virginia and old, like abandoned coal mines where they set up distilleries.
Yep.
Which is kind of neat. And I know that cave has a history with the distillery, which is neat. So we can come to the distillery, get whatever you have there, including some of the higher proof, the
right,
barrel
unique,
proof.
Unique releases, right?
But then also if you want to try their core offerings, sealbox.com, bourbonoutfitters.com. I typically get it from Sealbox. I've used Bourbon Outfitters a couple of times with Sealbox, fast shipping, very reliable. So if you want to try Holiday Distillery, and you should, I'm telling you.
I think this bourbon I'm drinking is great right now.
Yeah, and this is the 7-year barrel pick, but still the reviews are really good.
Well, and
really
oftentimes those bottle and bond, you know, which are a little bit lower proof, and again, blended to I'm sure to perfection, Kyle, you know, the 6-year, it can be really preferred for like an everyday, you know, drinker.
Yeah.
It can be amazing. And I think I'm a big fan of what I'm drinking right now. I can just from those flavors, I'd love to kind of.
Yeah, I'll probably snag a bottle of the weed from Seal Box.
We have three different faces of each mash bill. So your main bottled and bond offering, so that 100 proof. Then you have our Rickhouse proof that's depends on the batch, but the last two, the Soft Red and the Ben Holiday that came out were 120.1 proof on that one. And then from there, each barrel. The barrel picks we've done that's kind of expanded recently. And so we're kind of about 50-50 on the different mashes of which one we do, but the Ben Holiday or the Soft Red Wheat. So those, you know, depending on where they're at in the rickhouse have varied from 110 to 127 proof.
And you know, Ben, we didn't talk a lot about the bottle and bond, you know, like mm-hmm. what it I mean, that's a pretty strict criteria. It goes back to their history, and you don't see a lot of bottle and bond outside of Kentucky,
No, you
which is
really
really
you
interesting
don't.
that both of the core offerings are bottled and bond, and so to meet that criteria is, I mean, those are really, really strict criteria. And
Right.
anyways, I wanted to bring that up because I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And Kyle, I
Yeah.
don't know much. I don't know much about the climate in Kansas. So when you're in the upper le like in the summer, the upper floors of the Rick House, how hot is it? I mean, is it 120, 130?
I'd say about 120. Yeah, in that range, 120 to 130. We're seeing throughout that rick house. So we have the two seven-story rick houses on site. We're seeing what you'd typically expect. So we're 30 plus degree differential from bottom to top, and then about a 15 to 20% humidity differential as well. So yeah, you see that hot and dry climate towards the top, depending on kind of the summer and how it's going. But yeah,
And
very much. We're very similar to Kentucky. So I've tried to look into this. I'm not any sort of meteorologist by any stretch, but a couple degrees warmer on average during the winter and the or during the summer, and a couple degrees cooler
I
during the winter. So a little
typically
bit more extreme.
And what's your typical yield on a like a 6 year barrel? What how many bottles can you get out of
So I know the numbers more so based off of Angel Share. We're seeing
that?
more closer to about 32% loss
Okay.
on that 6 year mark. And so that's kind of where we're at, 30 to 32 for that six, and then bump it up another couple percent if you go a little bit beyond. We've had handful of barrel picks that have been in that 7 year range, nothing in the 8 year range yet. So, but yeah,
Well, and then you got to
30 to
get right.
32% loss.
Okay.
Well, and then you have to get into the, I mean, and it's interesting, like you said, because you disclose where the in your small batch blends where those barrels are coming from. The higher, higher floors, lower floors of the rick house. It's great. It's kind of
Yeah.
really interesting.
Yeah, it's both on our website and directly on the bottled and bond bottle as well. So both of our offerings have a chart that shows the percents of barrels that came from each floor. And so every time we do it, it's unique. It's so this March soft red wheat bottling that we did, 100% of that came from that kind of core of the rick house, that third floor. Had a lot of barrel picks coming from that recently, so it's like, why not try a whole batch from that third floor? And so as we go through it, each one ever so slightly different. You don't notice a dramatic taste difference side by side of our main bottlings, but there is a little bit of a shift each time, but it's intentional so that people can see kind of what that rick house does to that aging process.
Yeah, and this particular one you said was the one that we're drinking is Rick House C Floor 5. It's 122.9 proof, aged 7 years and 4 months, distilled April 8th,
Oh, it's great.
2016.
I mean, I'm on my fourth pour, and if I'm starting to slur my words, it's because it's so damn good.
It really is outstanding. Kyle, you guys are some people don't agree that you can make good bourbon outside of Kentucky. And, our bourbon of the year, whiskey of the year, was out of Texas. It was Garrison
Yeah.
Brothers, Cowboy Bourbon. And folks, if you haven't tried it, I'm telling you, you're missing.
Yeah.
You are missing it. This is top shelf. This is really good stuff.
I think so. And I again, all the perfect attributes you'd want from a bourbon. And the cooperage, we're familiar with that, this cooperage here in West Virginia and the Missouri cooperage. And the recipe history and the history, it's a we've done a lot of podcasts here, but this one kind of fits the whole profile. So, I mean, we're going to tell our listeners to go out there and hunt this bottle down and give it a try. It's going to be reasonably priced, and it's going to be delicious. And some of this isn't just pouring the, you got a recipe and get your mash and pouring into a barrel. I mean, this, I'm going to go back to the cooperage again because I think the cooperage is important coming out of Missouri. So, I think all of this produces a whiskey to me that's a little bit unique from what we're used to drinking. And it's very good.
But not unique to where
Unique in a good way.
it's unique in a
Yeah.
good way, just like the Garrison
Absolutely.
Brothers and some of the others we've
Yeah.
tasted, because this one is, first of all, when you pour it, you're going to notice the
Yeah.
collar.
Yeah.
It's dark. The nose, I mean, when you know, before we started the podcast, you on the nose, you were like, man, this is incredible. And I told you it's 122 proof. You said you can't tell. And that's, when I drink it, I can't tell it's 122 proof. Sealbox, bourbonoutfitters.com. If you're not in that area, I would love to come by the distillery and check it out. Maybe Joe and I will come out one day. We'll just show up.
I'm there.
We'll show up.
Absolutely.
I'll distract you, and Joe's going to run to the cave.
Oh boy.
With a drill.
We're not going to look
Sounds
like
great.
your typical bourbon drinking guys. We're actually,
Yeah, no,
we haven't like revealed.
they'll call security as soon as we roll up,
Yeah,
man. So I
don't worry,
appreciate
you'll know who we are when you
it.
see
No,
us.
just give us a call in advance, and we'll make sure we you can hang out in the bourbon lab with me, and we'll find some samples to
Very
try. So
cool.
don't worry.
Nice.
Yeah.
Kyle, the story. I love the story. Holiday Distillery, Ben Holiday. I love the whole thing. I love the product. You guys are crushing it.
Thank
Congratulations.
you.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. Take care.
Some of that light that shine, get you some.